Presently, they fell asleep for a little while. When Winston woke up, the hands of the clock had crept round to nearly 9. He did not stir, because Julia was sleeping with her head in the crook of his arm. Most of her makeup had transferred itself to his own face or the bolster, but a light stain of rouge still brought out the beauty of her cheekbone. A yellow ray from the sinking sun fell across the foot of the bed and lighted up the fireplace, where the water in the pan was boiling fast. Down in the yard, the woman had stopped singing, but the faint shouts of children floated in from the street. He wondered vaguely whether in the abolished past it had been a normal experience to lie in bed like this, in the cool of a summer evening, a man and a woman, with no clothes on, making love when they chose, talking of what they chose, not feeling any compulsion to get up, simply lying there and listening to peaceful sounds outside. Surely there could never have been a time when that seemed ordinary. Julia woke up, rubbed her eyes, and raised herself on her elbow to look at the oil stove. "Half that water spoiled away," she said. "I'll get up and make some coffee in another moment. We've got an hour. What time do they cut the lights off at your flats?"
23:30.
"It's 23 at the hostel, but you have to get in earlier than that because—" "Hi, get out, you filthy brute!" She suddenly twisted herself over in the bed, seized a shoe from the floor and sent it hurtling into the corner with a boyish jerk of her arm, exactly as he'd seen her fling the dictionary at Goldstein that morning during the 2 minutes' hate. "What was it?" he said in surprise. "A rat. I saw him stick his beastly nose out of the wainscoting. There's a hole down there. I gave him a good fright anyway."
"Rats," murmured Winston.
"In this room?"
"They're all over the place," said Julia indifferently as she lay down again. "We've even got them in the kitchen at the hostel. Some parts of London are swarming with them. Did you know they attack children?"
"Yes, they do. In some of these streets, a woman daren't leave a baby alone for 2 minutes. It's the great huge brown ones that do it. And the nasty thing is that the brutes always—"
"Don't go on,"
said Winston, with his eyes tightly shut.
"Dearest, you've gone quite pale. What's the matter? Do they make you feel sick?"
"Of all the horrors in the world, a rat."
She pressed herself against him and wound her limbs round him as though to reassure him with the warmth of her body. He did not reopen his eyes immediately. For several moments, he had had the feeling of being back in a nightmare, which had recurred from time to time throughout his life. It was always very much the same. He was standing in front of a wall of darkness, and on the other side of it, there was something unendurable, something too dreadful to be faced. In his dream, his deepest feelings was always one of self-deception, because he did in fact know what was behind the wall of darkness. With a deadly effort, like wrenching a piece out of his own brain, he could even have dragged the thing into the open. He always woke up without discovering what it was, but somehow it was connected with what Julia had been saying when he cut her short.
"I'm sorry," he said. "It's nothing. I don't like rats, that's all."
"Don't worry, dear. We're not going to have the filthy brutes in here. I'll stuff the hole with a bit of sacking before we go, and next time we come here, I'll bring some plaster and bung it up properly."
Already the black instant of panic was half forgotten. Feeling slightly ashamed of himself, he sat up against the bedhead. Julia got out of bed, pulled on her overalls, and made the coffee.